Well, I just wanted to say welcome to the refuge. I know Matthew already welcomed you. Yay. A couple announcements, and so try to pay attention. Otherwise, some of you may be a little disappointed. Next Sunday is Father's Day. All right? And we're not meeting on Father's Day. Here's the deal. Spend time with your dad or a spiritual father or some other significant male in your life. If for some reason you do not have one of those and you would still like to hang out, I would love to have you come and do Father's Day with me at my house. We'll probably do burgers and dogs, and I think I'm going to fry up a bunch of crappie and perch and have a fish fry. So if you don't have somewhere to go, make sure tonight let me know and give me your number if I don't have it, or Facebook me and let me know so we can plan on it. But we would love to have you celebrate Father's Day with me. Obviously, it's my day because I'm a dad, but my kids and my family are really used to us having people over for Christmas and Thanksgiving and special days like that. It's just kind of how the Osbournes roll. So, so just next week we won't meet. Now, the following week, we'll be right back here. And come early. What we'll do is we'll bring a bunch of pizzas out, and we'll have pizza and just some fellowship time. We'll have a normal service, and I'm going to go over the encouragement app in 2 weeks, to how to download the encouragement app in your life. Amen? All right. Tonight, where it's part two of a summer series, and last week we did the application app, and we kind of said, if you don't get the application app, the rest of the apps don't matter, because you need that app in order to make the other apps work, right? In other words, otherwise this just becomes a bunch of crazy information for you, and you don't do anything with it, and it doesn't benefit you. In fact, the Bible even says that you're deceived. If you're just to hear the word and you don't apply it, the Bible says you're walking somewhat in a place of deception in your life, and none of us wants that. I had a friend tell me one time, you know what the problem with deception is? I said, what? He says, you don't know you're deceived. That's why they call it deception. But the writers of the Gospels, they kind of give us a heads up that if you're listening to the word, you're not finding application in your life, then you're deceived. Tonight, the message, the app today is the confession app. Uh-oh. I'm missing my first page of my notes. Yeah. Thank you. And we have a PowerPoint, but hey, let's just pray and ask the Lord just to open our hearts that the word may find good soil. Father, I thank you for tonight. I thank you for that just amazing music and worship, and just I thank you for the team and their service. I thank you that, God, you've given us this place to gather each week, and for many of us, how our lives have been changed through this community. Father, I pray that tonight this word would encourage us in a way that confession doesn't become something that's scary or something that we run from, but something we're eager to have a part of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to talk about three areas of confession tonight, and the first area is confession to God. In Psalm 32, verse 3, it says, when I refused to confess my sin, I was weak and miserable and groaned all day long. Now, that doesn't sound like a very fun life, does it? I was weak and miserable, and I groaned all day long. And the reason, he didn't say it was because I sinned, it's because I wasn't willing to admit that I sinned. I wasn't willing to confess my sins. And just so I make sure that we know who we're talking to tonight, the Bible says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, which means confession of sin is not something for somebody else. It's for me. It's for each person sitting here. And if you ever find a person who denies that they have any sin in their life, I would maybe steer clear of that person, because the Bible says the truth is not even in them. All right? In 1 John chapter 1, verse 8 through 10, it says this. If we say we have no sin, we're only fooling ourselves and refusing to accept the truth. But if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from every wrong. If we claim we have not sinned, we are calling God a liar and showing that his word has no place in our hearts. The question isn't, will I or you sin? Will we fall short? The question is, what do we do when we sin and when we fall short? The psalmist says that if you hold it in and you don't confess it, what happens? It begins to eat away at you. And it begins to weigh you down. It begins to literally destroy your life. I remember a time at the church. My son was probably, 8, 9 years old, and he was just learning how to play drums, and he was actually beginning to kind of mess around with the worship team. And because he's one of the pastor's kids, I'm not justifying, but because he is, they have a tendency sometimes to think they kind of own the church. And so he would just run around, and he would play in the church, and he would just do things. And one particular day, one of the drummers must have left some drums up on the kit. And I'm in a counseling session in the office, and Matthew's kind of running around. And next thing I know, there's a knock on the door. And I'm like, yes. And he says, Dad. And I'm like, yes, Matt. I'm in a meeting. He says, Dad, I need to tell you something. And I'm like, okay, well, come on in, Matt. He came in. Dad, I broke the drums. I'm like, that's not possible. He goes, no, Dad, I broke the drums. And I went there, and I went out there, and the drumstick was sitting right through the snare, like stuck right in it like this. And I'm thinking, oh, boy, this is Saturday night. What are they going to do tomorrow morning? They walk in, there's a drumstick sitting right through the drum head. And it really wasn't that challenging. I think Jonathan at the time was a part of the team, and he says, we have new heads for the drums. We're getting ready to do it. I guess we're going to do it tonight. And they put a new head on the snare. And the funny thing was, I looked at Matt, and I said, how do you feel? He says, I feel a lot better now. And I said, you do? He says, yeah, I feel better that you know. Now, that 8, 9-year-old kid, he could have hidden his sin, right? And there's a good chance nobody would have known who did it. And it would have been a real problem on Sunday morning when they rolled in for church. But the reality was, he learned an early principle in his life, even as a kid, to confess your sin brings what? Forgiveness. And it brings a release in your own life. We serve a God who loves us so much. A God who, as our worship tonight was so amazing, knows everything, sees everything. You know, God, you know. And most of us sitting here would say, I actually believe God sees everything. I know God knows everything. So then my next question to you is, then why do you have a hard time admitting it to him? Why wouldn't you confess your sin to him? Because the Bible says he is faithful to what? To forgive us and to cleanse us from every wrong. So the first area of confession I want to encourage each of us on is to find a regular place in your heart and your life that, you know, when all of a sudden the Spirit of God or the Word of God reveals there's an area in your life that's not quite right, admit it. Say, Lord, forgive me. Admit that it's wrong. Admit that he's right and you're wrong. He doesn't need to adjust to accept you or your lifestyle or your sin issue. You need to adjust to his righteousness and ask him to help you. And say, Lord, forgive me. Cleanse me. And you'll walk in joy instead of a place of condemnation and discouragement. I meet a lot of Christians that are very, very burdened. They're depressed. They're discouraged. And one of the reasons is they have sin issues in their life that they're not willing to admit to God. But I have a problem, and I need your help for it. I think that's where the Catholic Church, I could never understand my friends growing up as a kid, that on Saturday night, they'd go to confessional, and then they'd go out and be stupid, and every week they'd go to confessional, But there was something about confessing their sins that actually did make them feel better. And I think the Word of God says that. There is a principle. Not that we would confess to the priest, but we confess to the Lord. And He forgives us. Amen? The second area of confession is one that is probably even more challenging for us. It's confessing to one another. And it's like, well, you know, I can confess to God because He's unconditional love and He already knows. I'm not sure I want to confess to anybody else. In James 5:16, it says, make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, actually, this is Colossians. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. So here's the first, you know what? We're going to look at that one. James 5:16 says, confess your sins or trespasses to one another. Pray for one another that you may be healed. The effect of fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Confess your sins to one another. When's the last time you sat down with somebody and just confessed your sins to them? Did you ever have everybody confess sin to you? And then they pause for a moment, okay, now your turn. And you're like, no way. Well, it says confess your sins one to another. I read a story one time about these three pastors. All right, we'll use the Assembly of God pastor, we'll use a Baptist pastor, or use a Presbyterian pastor. And they went out on a boat fishing, and they decided it was a really good time to be honest and transparent and confess their sins to one another. And the one pastor said, the Assembly of God pastor said, you know, I have a tendency to drink too much. And sometimes probably cross the line and I get drunk. And they're all like, oh, man, phew, that's tough. And then the other pastor says, yeah, and sometimes, to be honest with you, when the offering plate goes by, you have a tendency to take a little bit out. Oh, man, stealing. That's a problem. Looked at the other pastor and they said, your turn. He goes, man, my biggest problem is gossip. And I sure can't wait to get back to shore. Now, we laugh. But I think one of the reasons that we fail to have this desire to confess our sins to one another, even though the Word of God says there's a blessing in it, there's healing that comes in your life. And it says to practice this, to confessing to one another, we have a hesitancy not to because what? We don't know if we're in a safe place. And I would say it's a scary place to confess your sins to one another, but it's a biblical principle. And the verse I was reading out of Colossians says, make allowance for each other's faults, forgive one another who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. One of the questions I have, are you a safe place? Are you a safe place? Do you have friends? Do you have people that can come to you and confess areas in their life they're struggling with, and yet you're a safe place for them? They can trust you. To what? Offer them forgiveness and offer them what? Encouragement. And I was thinking in my own life, I said, you know, do I have a safe place? And so the next question, I'm going to preach on this sometime soon. And I actually used this text this week at a wedding I did. And I used this text, and it's not a text I've ever heard in a wedding before. I used Galatians chapter 6, verse 1 through 3 in a wedding. Now, those of you that are married, and those of you in 13 days that are getting married, here's some Galatians advice. Dear brothers and sisters, if another Christian is overcome by some sin, you who are godly should gently and humbly help that person back onto the right path. And be careful not to fall into the same temptation yourself. Share each other's troubles and problems, and in this way obey the law of Christ. If you think you are too important to help someone in need, you are only fooling yourself. You are really a nobody. What would happen as couples, as family members, as friends, If the person we're married to, or the person that's a significant other, or a friend, or somebody else close to you, what if you were that safe place that they could come to you and confess their sins to you because they knew what it meant to be a person who is more spiritual? It would mean not that they judge you, but they gently and humbly help you, what? Get back on the right path. Paying attention to the self, lest possibly they too would struggle and fall into the same temptation that you're struggling with. I think that we as followers of Christ could walk in so much more victory in our personal lives if we became a safe place and had safe places to go to, where you could take somebody out for a cup of coffee and sit down and say, you know, I really struggle in this area of sin in my life, and I've confessed it to God, and I know He's forgiven me, but I have this cycle of repeating this sin, and I'm confessing it to you because I believe you're going to gently and humbly help me get back on the right path, and you're going to walk with me through this until I have victory. Now, wouldn't that be a community that looked different? Where there was a group of you that you could, each of you had individuals or a couple of people you could go to and say, you know, I'm willing to admit I'm broken in this area. Because see, the odds are I'm broken in an area of my life that's different than an area of your life. And you're broken in an area of your life that's different than mine. And I can help you walk in victory in some areas that you're struggling with, but maybe you could help me walk in victory in some areas that you're strong in. Does that make sense? James says, confess your sins one to another. So who wants to go first? I'm kidding. I actually saw in the church one time, and that was rather awkward, where people just come up to the platform and start confessing a sin. At one particular point, I'm thinking, okay, I'm on overload now. I'm not talking about publicly standing up in front of a large crowd. I'm not saying you couldn't. What I'm saying is this. If there's no one in your life that you confess your sins to, you need to pray and ask God for that person or those persons to help you. And if you are married, may God allow your spouse to be that person. I was sitting with a pastor one day. His name was Dr. Ralph Nabors, many, many years ago. And we were actually sitting. There was four pastors, and I was one of them. And he was sitting with these pastors, and it got really kind of raw and honest and transparent. I was a fairly young pastor in the ministry. And Dr. Nabors says, you know, so what are you guys struggling with? And he was thinking, you know, like your cell groups or your preaching or something like that. And this one guy says, to be honest with you, Dr. Nabors, I really struggle with porn. It was like dead silence at the table. What do I do? And without blinking, Dr. Nabors says, I know the best thing you could do to get set free from struggling with porn. He said, what? He says, tell your wife. Dead silence again. I mean, you're thinking about it, right? And he says, because if you won't, you really don't want to be free. And until you really want to be free, you'll never be free. If you have an area in your life you're struggling with, and you really want to be free, you'll humble yourself and you'll go to a close friend and say, I need help. I need someone to pray with me and walk with me in this one. And maybe share with them Galatians 6:1 so they're gentle with you after the confession. And someone who's humble. The last area of confession is confession of your faith. In Romans 10, is that the one we have? No, 1 Peter. I switched this up after they made it. In 1 Peter 3:15. It says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. I think people who know Christ ought to tell people that they know Christ. Do you know one of the reasons I know in my life in the past I wasn't willing to admit that I was a Christian? Because I wasn't living a very good Christian life. But then God began to reveal to me, at what point will you ever be living a good enough Christian life that you don't need my activity in your life and my forgiveness and my grace and my mercy? So that would be never. He says, but in the meantime, you're not standing up and letting people let people know that you know me and that you believe in me and want to follow me. Just start doing that. And he says, I think you'll live holier. The truth is, the more people who know that you're a follower of Christ, the better chance you have of at least attempting to live in a way that gives honor and glory to Christ. But if you don't tell anybody, there's no built-in accountability that you're even attempting to live for Christ. It says here, we should always be ready. In Romans 10, it says, for if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. For by believing in your heart, you are made right with God, and by confessing with your mouth, you are saved. As the scriptures tell us, anyone who believes in him will not be disappointed. I was thinking about what is one of the best ways to let people know that you're a follower of Christ. I remember on November 17th, 1979, the best way I did it was I got down in a river when it was snowing in Michigan State University, and I stood up in front of the student union about 11 o'clock at night. You think there'd be nobody there? No, the place was packed. When people are coming out of classes and coming out of the study halls and there's somebody in the water at 11 at night and it's snowing, it draws a crowd. And I remember going into the water, and I remember the Moody Bible Institute graduate, Greg Venata, who became my accountability partner and my mentor. We went in the water and he said, tell them why you're in the water, because they all want to know why. And they did. I said, how many of you want to know why I'm in the water? And one guy goes, because you're crazy? Maybe. And some girl goes, I don't know why you're in the water. I said, because I believe that Jesus Christ died for me on the cross, was buried and rose from the dead, that he offers me forgiveness of all of my sins. And I want to stand up here today and give public testimony that Jesus Christ is absolutely the most important thing in my life. I'm not even quite sure what it means to follow him, but I'm committed to following him the rest of my life, and he is my Lord, he is my Savior. And then Greg said, based on your profession of faith, I baptize you into Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and he took me, plunged me down in that water. And when I came up, I wasn't cold. The guy I felt bad for was him. He was freezing, but I wasn't cold. It was just like the love of God and the affirmation of God, the warmth of the Holy Spirit is upon my life. And I knew at that moment that I was not ashamed of who Christ was and what he did for me, and I gave public testimony of it. Well, in the meantime, there's about 30 people like this from the church, and they started sharing with everybody else there. I didn't know that this had happened before because I was new to the church and a college campus. They had already brought a bunch of extra blankets and stuff. I had no idea. Right there at that moment, people started walking down into the water who were getting saved and say, if that guy's willing to say that Jesus Christ meant that to him, then I want him to forgive me. I want that God to be in my life. And they're walking down in the water. And there was like 25 or 30 more people got saved that night and got water baptized in the Red Cedar River at Michigan State University on November 17th in the snow. I want to encourage you. If you haven't been water baptized since as a young adult and as an adult, you've made a decision to follow Christ, I want to encourage you. Get water baptized. Let's go down to the ocean front while there's lots of people down there, and let's go out in the water and let you stand up there and say, you know what, I'm doing this in this water right now because I believe Jesus is who he said he is, did what he said he did, and is going to come back and do what he said he's going to do. I believe that. and he's my Lord and Savior, and give public confession of your faith. There's something we don't do in this refuge thing. We don't ask you to come forward and fill out a card and pray a simple prayer. We ask you to follow Jesus every day and learn how to do that. One particular day in your life, though, if you haven't done it, I would encourage you to say, you know, Pastor Mike, I want to get water baptized. I remember one of my kids, they got water baptized when they were like 6 years old. And that was so exciting for grandma or for mom and grandma and a bunch of other people. And I think that's really cool. But then my child got water baptized at 16. It was different. It was different. They're kind of doing it when they're like six because mommy and daddy kind of wanted them to do it. But when they stood up in front of all their high school friends and says, no, I want to follow Jesus. That's a Romans 10 confession of faith. That's saying Jesus Christ is my Lord. So I want to encourage you. 3 years of confession. Never hesitate confessing your sins to God. Believe that God will give you a safe person in life. Be a safe person where people can confess their faults to you and you to them. And always look for an opportunity to give confession of your faith to other people. Amen? Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much that Jesus Christ was never ashamed of us. Sometimes I wonder, Lord, why you want to be associated with me. But I realize you do. You love me. You forgive me. You live with me. You're never ashamed to call me son. I'm the bride you're coming back for, even though I still have faults and I still struggle. Lord, I pray that each of us would be eager when you reveal areas in our life that need work to confess those to you and ask you to forgive us that we might be free, that we confess our sins to one another that we might be healed, and we confess you before men that they might know you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Have a great week. Remember, if you don't have plans on Sunday, come to my house, but we're not meeting. We'll see you in 2 weeks.